Good morning. Good to see you once again in the house of the Lord here in person and also online. A beautiful day. Once again, the Lord has blessed us with. Mercies indeed are fresh and new. May we enjoy the day. Even though we don't know what it's going to bring yet, those mercies don't change. And speaking of mercy, have you tried catching the wind? Sails catch the wind, but have you? With your own hands. You know, we're trying to capture the wind for our energy use, but can we control the wind? How much of our life do we really control? Or is our life more like the wind? We try to catch it or capture it, but it can elude us. Well, the point of all this is expounded on in our scripture readings for today. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to continually enlighten us as we hear and sing God's word this day. I invite your attention now to the invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being.
Praise his holy name.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I invite you now to page 14 of our service bulletin for our opening hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
please stand. Turning back to page 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ. For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. Please be seated. A reading from Holy Scripture, Ecclesiastes. Note how we are able to avoid a meaningless life. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The word of the Lord. That theme continues in another reading from Holy Scripture, this one from James chapter 5, reminding us of where we ought to put our hope. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of the slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The word of the Lord. Please stand for our gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter. How good have you become at being able to distinguish between needs and wants? Our Lord says, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?' Then he said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.' And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Please be seated as we now turn to page 15 for our next hymn, the hymn of the day, "My Worth Is Not in What I Own."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance, thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Lord's Scriptures this morning, turning back to the words of Ecclesiastes. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What are some things that come with age, even starting at a young age? Well, you can shout them out. What are some things that you've discovered over the years as you've gotten older? Glasses. There you go. Hurt? Everything hurts? Patience. Good.
Knowledge.
Yeah. Loss of memory. Wisdom can also come with age. What was that? Old age. Yes, the recognition of the fact that we are getting older. And what's our attitude going to be towards that? Can we embrace it, learn to find a way to embrace that, or will it make us miserable? So we can relate to the words of Solomon as he reflects back on life, on what is really important in life. I mean, here's Solomon. He really had a blessed life. And he knew it, but there were times in life where he forgot it or took it for granted, and it almost cost him his spiritual life. And so as he reflects back on life, he says what oftentimes we might have been led or are led to say, meaningless. If we're just living for this life, and we know what comes with this life. Not all of it good, but at the same time, there are still good things that come with life, with getting older. I mean, as children, right? What is one of our goals? I can't wait to get older so I can do those things. And then we get older, and then we get that rent bill. And I'm going, what's that? And then we got to pay for insurance and everything else. Oh, maybe it wasn't so bad being a child. Well, we can't stay a child. We grow up. And we grow up, eventually we get taken somewhere. Because the soul returns to the Maker. And what relationship that soul has with the Maker is important. And that's what Solomon is getting at. Again, if we're just looking at this life for what it is, it's going to be meaningless. The word meaningless means breath, vain, empty. It vanishes. James, by inspiration, was led to write, "What is your life? It's like a breath. It's there one moment and then it's gone." The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, put it another way. Don't think more of yourself than you ought. The Lord has a way of raising us up for His purposes, but He also can bring us down when we forget that we're living for His purposes. Solomon learned that the hard way. Solomon, indeed, was, as we said, a blessed person, and he was blessed because, in a way, he gave the right answer. When he took the throne after his father David, the Lord said, "Ask whatever you want." And what did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. And the Lord said, "Because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to bless you with what you didn't ask for. Wealth and fame and everything else." And the Lord blessed him with all that, even though he knew it would be a source of temptation for Solomon. But as Solomon was led to write in Proverbs. Train a child in the way he should go, and later on, Lord willing, that child will not depart from it. Solomon had a good foundation from his father David. He did learn what sin was from his father David, but he also learned what forgiveness was from and through his father David. But Solomon, as he reflects back, goes, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. It even got to the point that he expanded on what he meant by that by saying, I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. So Solomon, looking back at all that he had been blessed with, all the wealth, and now he realizes, I'm not going to live forever. Who's coming after me? Who's going to take care of all this that's been built up? All the reputations throughout the world. I mean, the children of Israel had a good reputation at that time in history. And they had 40 years of peace under Solomon's reign. That wasn't by accident. It was God's blessing. And so a lot of good. I mean, silver was worth nothing in those days. And yet Solomon is led to realize, really, all that is meaningless except for one thing. Did he perhaps realize that his son Rehoboam was going to be the failure that he was? It didn't take long for Rehoboam to basically lose everything Solomon had been able to build up, because Rehoboam was more concerned about himself than he was about carrying out the will of the Lord. Was Solomon realizing that? I really have no one to leave my kingdom to take care of it, to appreciate what I have. I mean, if you've been in business and you have to leave your business to one of your children, maybe has that thought crossed your mind? Is my child ready for this business? Or have I spoiled my child to the point that they don't understand this business and they just see it as a bank account? Who tends to appreciate the business more? Isn't it the one who really had a start at the bottom and worked their way up? Not in all cases, but in too many. We fail to appreciate what we have if we don't work for it in a way. Maybe that's why too many people fail to appreciate the salvation that God has given to us free of charge by His mercy. God shouldn't change the formula, though. It's just that we human beings have a problem that the Lord has to overcome, and He does, thankfully. By realizing, though, that for most things in life, we have to work for it in order to earn it and appreciate it. There's one thing in life that we don't have to work for, because we cannot, and yet we are able to appreciate it. And that really gets to Solomon's point as he reflects back on the meaningless of life. It is meaningless. All the toil that we do, all the things that we accomplish and earn, it's all meaningless if we don't have an understanding of God's salvation and a relationship with God through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because what are we really working for? What are we amassing all things for? If it's just to find happiness, well, those things will make us happy for a time, but for how long? The nice new shiny car, it makes us happy and we protect it, and then we park at Walmart, and then what happens? Who put that shopping cart next to our car? And then 20,000 miles comes. What do you mean I need new tires? You park your car, outside because you got stuff in the garage. What do you mean I need a new catalytic converter? Right? How meaningless life can become. One moment we're all jumping for joy because of that new car, and the next minute we realize this thing is costing us money. Now, it's not that you can't have a new car and be excited about it, but keep it in perspective. It makes us happy, but it doesn't really provide the happiness and the joy that we need to sustain us throughout life. And that's what Solomon came to recognize. How meaningless are the things of this world, all that we toil for, if we don't keep it in perspective. Work is a gift. It is a blessing from God. But with sin, it has become a toil, a hard toil. And people fail to realize that work really is a blessing. And as a society, right, we're not helping ourselves when we just hand out things to people without working for it. Because how many people fail to appreciate what's been given to them? I mean, children too, right? When you raise your children, there's that fine line of when do you pay them for chores, and when do you have just expectations? Hey, you live in this household, this is what we do. When do you let them ride on things versus hold them accountable? The Lord knows all things are not easy, but again, God help us put it all back in perspective. God help us find that balance of not spoiling the child, but not hurting or harming the child, abusing. To find that middle road, to help raise up that child to be a responsible citizen down the road. A responsible citizen that realizes that it's not about the amassing of things that ultimately brings you happiness. It's about maintaining the relationship with God. Because the things of this world go, right? I mean, it's long past the days of being able to work at a place for 40 years and be able to retire from working from that place with a pension. I mean, how many people are switching jobs every 5 years or 6 months or whatever and don't even have a pension to come with it? It's a changing world, but what doesn't change? God's mercy and what He has to offer us. And so Solomon makes that point. Again, if we're looking at life from out without God in it, it is meaningless. But when we look at life with God in it, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Right? He gives us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He gives us wisdom to be able to apply that knowledge to our life, to keep life in perspective, to make choices that will give glory to God. You know, He wants us to develop goals in this life. But those goals need to center on Him and what He wants for us. I mean, when we're young, right, we have all these type of goals. I'm going to go to school here. I'm going to get this kind of job. And when I get this kind of job, I'll be able to do X, Y, and Z. And Lord willing, you will be able to do those things. But if not, the Lord is still solid. His mercies are still fresh and new. Because our plans may not always line up with His plans for us. Because our plans may, if we carried them out, actually taken us away from God. And so He puts a roadblock in the way to keep us connected to Him. And so God grant us such wisdom to realize that even though maybe my goal did not get accomplished, His goal for me got accomplished to keep me in the straight and narrow. And also happiness. He does give us happiness in this life. But again, following His will, not our will. But to the one who doesn't have that relationship with God, who doesn't see how God has given us the ability to work and what work is to be for, it's not to be about amassing things and how big our bank account can get, because again, bank accounts can go away. How many of you have had your investments shoot way up and now in a few months, boom, shoot way down? How many people had planned to retire yet once again and realized, boom, I can't retire. I got to work a little bit longer. I mean, again, if we're resting our hope on the things of this world, how many people have that second home? We're going to retire there. We're going to enjoy retirement years there. But it got consumed by fire. It's not that you can't have those things, but that we keep it in perspective. That's not where true happiness is centered. True happiness is centered in God. And so that's why Solomon says, to the sinner he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth, only to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Literally, the one who doesn't please God does not appreciate what God has to offer in life and fails to appreciate, is always then trying to achieve more. Thinking, if I just earn a little bit more, if I just get this title, people will respect me and I'll be content and I'll be happy. But then you get that title and what happens? You want another title. You want another corner office, as if there's another corner office to give. When is it going to be enough? But the one who is with God realizes, even if I don't have a corner office, I'm successful. Even if I don't have that second house or that brand new car, I'm successful. Even if I don't have $1 million in my retirement account, I'm successful. Why? Because heaven is my home. So meaningless, Solomon says, if you don't recognize that. That's what your life is. But if you recognize it, your life is full of knowledge and wisdom and happiness and joy and contentment. That doesn't mean we're going to go through life skipping and whistling happy tunes all day long. But it is a reminder that there's something bigger going on through and around us. And so let us not underestimate the impact that you have while in this world. I mean, when you're in a factory, for example, and you're making your part, and you may get frustrated at, boy, this just seems like a meaningless task. But realize if you're not making your part, you're not going to be able to help the person down the road who's making another part, and then those parts all come together to make that vehicle that you want to drive. We all play a role. It's really not insignificant. So let us not underestimate the role that we have when it comes to even sharing the gospel. Maybe someone's not interested in what you have to say, but you planted seeds, and someone else starts up a conversation with that person, and they plant seeds of the gospel, and all of a sudden, you know what? That rings a bell. So again, don't underestimate the impact that we have by God's grace. And whether your name is recognized in lights or not, does it matter? Because who knows what you've done and are doing? God does. God help us then not be chasing after the wind, which is a meaningless exercise, but rather continually chase after the things of God, which brings meaning to our life. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. We join in a confession of our faith, the Nicene Creed, found on page 7.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it can flourish in all of your works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth
the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us.
Prospering hand has blessed, may we give you of our best, and by deeds of kindly love for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days praise to you, immortal praise. Life continues to be a precious gift from you, O Lord, and it is to be celebrated. Help the family and friends of our congregation celebrate their birthdays this week. And since marriage is meant to be a blessing to your creation, guide couples through your word on how to have those blessings become evident in their own marriage. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior. As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now may this body
which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and in joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
A note as we turn to our closing hymn. The accompanist and vocalist will have a introduction to that hymn and then will lead us into the singing of Take the World, But Give Me Jesus.
Yeah.
that's what takes life from meaningless to meaningful. God bless your life with a meaningful life this week and always. A Bible study, our last look at the Gospel of Luke, will be today at 9:30 here in the church proper, family Bible hour at 9:15 in the Luther room. We have our school opening service this afternoon at 4 o'clock. You're welcome to come back for that. And there's a little fellowship afterwards. That's why the tables are out in the Rose Garden for that this afternoon. Our multi-purpose center, we're able to get the floor redone on Friday. We're hoping to do it on a Monday, so we'd be ready for the weekend. But you know how schedules go and supply chain. So we're getting it done. That's why we can't use the multi-purpose center for that event. But it all works out. And then we have a back-to-school event, but it's really for the whole congregation, and an opportunity to invite family and friends, neighbors to our campus. The back-to-school event will consist of a food truck, but not just any food truck. Bacon-mania, right? Get your full of bacon at the food truck on Friday. And then also we're having trivia. So just good fun, fellowship, good opportunity to welcome our school families, introduce yourselves, introduce St. Mark's, get them a good vibe for our ministry here at St. Mark's. Keep that in mind. Other than that, just see the weekly news for the things that are going on here and around our country through our church body. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.